Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Abhishanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The Lord ordered Govinda, from today on, do not allow that Bauliya Kamalakanta Vishwas to come here. Purport, please hear. The Bauliyas or the Baulas are one of the 13 unauthorized sects that pass as followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord ordered Govinda, His personal assistant, not to allow Kamalakanta Vishwas to come into His presence because He had become a Bauliya. Thus, although the Baula Sampradaya, Aula Sampradaya and Sahajiya Sampradaya, as well as the Smarthas, Jata Goshanis, Atiwadis, Chudadharis and Gauranga Nagaris claim to belong to the disciplic succession of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord actually rejected them. Jaya Prabhupada and Central Purports Ki Jaya. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatan Vitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Pitamsha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate giriyam yat kripa tamaham vande shri gurun dinatarinam shri paramananda madhavam shri chaitanyam ishwaram namo vishnu padaya krishna pushta putra shrimate mahavishnu swamitana namo vishnu padaya krishna pushta putra shrimate bhakti vedanta swamitana namaste sarasvati gauravanik charanin bhavini vashata deshatan hare krishna. So I'll read the translation again. The Lord ordered Govinda, from today on, do not allow that Bauliya Kamalakanta Vishwas to come here. So, most of you might have been going through this past time more closely because you are attending. This has been going on for a while, this
set of shlokas in this specific episode. So what actually happens here? Why Kamalakant Vishwas is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is ordering his servant Govinda to stop Kamalakant Vishwas from coming to come to meet him. So background behind that? Was dead. Yeah, so he actually writes a letter. Before that, this Kamalakant Vishwas, he is a very personal assistant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has been very closely serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and also he was also a personal secretary of Sri Advaita Acharya. So in that process, what he has done is he has been serving them faithfully. He's a very nice devotee. But in that process, what he has done is, he had written a letter to King Prataparudra in Puri, saying that Advaita Acharya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is correct. But along with that, he has also written a statement saying, Advaita Acharya actually owes 300 rupees to the king and he wants to liquidate it. He wants to get that money back. Kamalakant Vishwas. So this letter he had written without anyone's knowledge. Nobody knew about this letter. Okay. And then somehow or other, of course Prataparudra is a devotee also, somehow or other the message has come back to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The letter was passed on to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and when he heard this statement that Advaita Acharya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was happy. But then the statement saying that he owes a debt of 300 rupees was not taken nicely by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is a interesting situation, because we also do quite a few, I can tell for myself that we do so many activities, service in our devotional service, which sometimes pleases the Lord, sometimes does not please the Lord, or partly pleases and partly does not please, or same to do with the spiritual master as well. So it's a very interesting situation which we can relate to, where sometimes our, we can use the word overconfidence also, little bit more confident about our abilities, and that I understand the Lord, and kind of I understand the situation, I know their qualities and all that, because we become a bit more familiar with them, being closely in association, seeing them in a very close basis, right? So we then tend to commit such offenses like the way Kamalakant Vishwas has done. So there are two parts to this offense, right? What is the first part? He had written a letter. Of course, he said Advaita Acharya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda ki, Jai Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki, Jai. Why should Chaitanya Mahaprabhu be so upset that he does not want Kamalakant Vishwas to come and even see him? Yes,
well, the first point is that he can't write a letter without any authority. He has no authority to write such a letter.
Yeah, that's a nice point. It's a very nice point. He has no authority to write such a letter. What's the other point behind this? That's a very good point, that we can't just like that write a letter without any authority. If you have the qualification and authority to do it, then we can do it. That's first thing. Writing directly to the king. He could have gone and told this to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or Nityananda Prabhu, or Advaita Acharya, Haridas Thakur, so many of them were there in Puri. Why should he write directly to the king? And the other part of it? Yes, Prabhu.
How can God be?
Yeah, that is further down, of course. That's further than before that, even before that. He didn't actually consult with anybody, first of all. He didn't even let anybody know that he's writing a letter. First part is the authority. The second part is he didn't even inform anybody that I am writing a letter. Isn't it? He bypassed everybody. Which is not right. Even if he is saying Advaita Acharya is the supreme personality of Godhead, what's wrong in telling publicly, at least among the devotees? Isn't it? It's a bit of overconfidence and bypassing the authorities or bypassing even it is even things like, you know, I'm hiding something, which means in my heart I'm not I know in the heart of hearts that I'm doing the wrong thing, but still I do it because I think I will get some glorification of it or whatever. There are chances that when we say that okay, Advaita Acharya is supreme personality of Godhead, but still I found a mistake in him, so I am greater than him. That's the Mayavadi tendency, right? We say, Prabhu, you are so great and all that thing, Mataji, you are so great, or you are doing such a nice service. But you know what? You should do like this. When we say this way, we think that that person is pleased because the first part I have glorified and the second part I am trying to fix a problem in them. But the thing is, we don't understand the subtle working of the human relationships or the communications that we have. So, in the process of being diplomatic, we lose the essence of straightforwardness, simplicity and straightforwardness. These come even before that mistake of saying that, you know, he owes a debt. He owes a debt, it is more of a, it's ignorance, out of ignorance. It's even a, I would say even a lesser mistake than these three, these two, three that which we discussed. It's just an outcome that I am saying that Advaita Acharya owes some amount. But it's only a outcome of the inner anarthas, which are like, you know, I am too familiar with Advaita Acharya. And the way he and Nityananda Prabhu are fighting and throwing prasadam at each other. If you see all these things, you think that, is this supreme personality of Godhead or what? They are like behaving like funny people, and we call them supreme lord and worshipping, and every day in the morning we sing their glories and all that. Is it really? Because devotional service is really tricky as we go further and further, because you have to see, we have to see all the subtle interactions of Krishna, which may not even appear like the Supreme Lord's activities. Like as we go along, like that's why the different rasas, it is very difficult, because in the Dasyarasa and Shantaras, we don't really see those intimate more informal actions of activities of Krishna. So it's easier. But as you go higher up in our realizations, it becomes much more difficult. That is why even while we see the Lord, we see the Lord's form from the lotus feet, we get the awe and reverence, and then as we go all the way up, finally we see the Supreme Lord's beautiful lotus face, right? So that when we see directly, we won't get the importance. That is why if you see, even in our the Lords, right, worshipable Lords, we have first Radha Madan Mohan, who represents the lotus feet, and then we have Radha Gopinath, who represents the middle part, and then the middle, this part, right? The chest, and then Radha Govindji, who represents the lotus face. We go in gradually. If you see one interesting thing there, Radha is the same, but Krishna's realization is different. Madan Mohan, Govind, Gopinath, and then Govind. What does that mean? Radha name is the same. Everywhere it's the same. We don't have a different name for Radha most places, except for, I think, Kishore Kishori. It's the only place where we don't have the actual name of Radharani. Everywhere else we have the same Radha the first. There is no name, different name for Radharani. But Krishna's name keeps changing. Rukmini Dwarkadish. Of course, it's Rukmini. Rukmini is... Yeah, the different bhav. The thing is, our activity of devotional service remains the same, but the realization of Krishna keeps intensifying. That is the point. Aradhana, Radha word comes from Aradhana. So the Aradhana that we do, chanting, hearing, remembering and all these things, that's the same. When I am doing chanting Hare Krishna mantra, we are not going to chant a different mantra in the spiritual world. It's the same thing that we are going to do. So we should not, you know, after all my chanting of Hare Krishna for so many years, finally now I don't have to take up my beads. No, even in the spiritual world, we have to keep our beads with us. We will have to do that. It's not that through this process we will get something else. Chanting leads to more chanting. That's what the whole process is. Hearing leads to more hearing. So anyway, this point is very important to understand. Too much intimacy is not good. Narad Muni tells this to Nanda Maharaj when he meets, that you have been so much associating with Krishna that you keep Krishna, Supreme Lord, at your own home, and you are coming and asking me for advice. You should have directly asked Krishna for advice. Why are you coming to me? It is familiarity breeds contempt. So here, of course, that is in a different context. But here, this Kamalakant Vishwas, he has done this thing of, you know, Supreme Lord is fine. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Advaita Acharya, the Supreme Lord. But he owes a debt. Again, coming to that point, finally, the offense at which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took up is that, how can the Supreme Lord owe anything to anybody? He does not owe anything to anybody. Prahlad Maharaj says beautifully in his prayers to Narsingadev, Naivatmana praburayam nijalabha purno manam janad avidushah karuno vrnite yad yad jano bhagavate vidadhita manam tachatmane pratimukhasya yathamukhashri. It's a beautiful verse. Naivatmana praburayam nijalabha purno. You don't want anything from anybody. You don't owe anything to anybody. You don't want anything from anybody. Nijalabha purna. Whatever you need, it is automatically satisfied by yourself. It's not someone else. You have to depend on someone else for satisfying it. Nijalabha purna. That's a beautiful thing. Nijalabha purna. Whatever desire he has, he himself can fulfill it. That is the greatest quality of Krishna. We are not like that. For even to get some water, I need to depend on somebody. Even to breathe, I have to depend on somebody. Right? If the demigod controlling my breath one day decides that, okay, enough, then I am finished. So this is the important point we should understand here. Nijalabha purna. Manam janad avidushaha karuno vrinite yadyad jano bhagavate vidadhita manam. In other words, what he is saying is, beautifully he is giving an example in the last line. Tat chatmane pratimukhasya yatha mukashrihi. Means, when somebody sees his own face in the mirror, right? What he does, I nicely decorate with some whatever, and then garland or put some nice cloth and all that. And the image in the mirror also looks beautiful. If I just cut here, cut there, dress and all, I just tear it and then put all my, do all kinds of funny things and then, or put some paint around here and there and just go and look at the same mirror, it will look that way. So, what he is saying is, Prahlad Maharaj, that if actually we glorify you, we get glorified. Just like the mirror, if I nicely decorate and go stand in front of the mirror, I am looking beautiful. But if I don't glorify you, I am only not getting into trouble. If I criticize you, I am getting criticized. That is what he is telling to the Supreme Lord. If at all we want any kind of thing from Krishna, if all of us want glorification, isn't it? Nobody can deny that. If we are not glorified in the process in here, in any group or temple or whatever it may be, how long will we stay? We are getting glorified. You don't just come and you do some kirtan and everybody comes, Prabhu, you sing nice kirtan. You cook so nicely. Or you do some seva, then you have done such a nice service. We keep appreciating. And if you don't appreciate, then the next day what happens, it just stops. But there is a beautiful way to get glorification and appreciation. Simply glorify Krishna. If I do it for my own glorification, it will stop at some point. Because how long people will keep glorifying? It is really boring. Because whenever I get glorified, it is I am not passing it on to Krishna. Then automatically it stops. River is flowing and you put a dam or some block here. How long the water will keep coming? It will stop. It will go somewhere else where it can flow. If I remove this block, then it will go further down. So that's the same thing. Glorifications keep coming and I stop it and want to enjoy it myself instead of passing it on to Krishna. So it becomes stagnant. One thing is the water will not keep coming, and the second thing is it becomes stagnant and starts stinking. That's a very subtle thing about glorifications. So we need to keep on passing it on to the acharyas, spiritual master and the Supreme Lord. So again, coming back to this point, we started off with that Krishna does not owe anything to anybody. If he wants, he will owe, he will beg from somebody, just like he did for Bali Maharaj, did with Bali Maharaj. But that is only to glorify Bali Maharaj, not for his own thing. He could have just come and grabbed it himself. Right? Even in the fighting in the Kurukshetra battlefield, he drove the chariot. Not for, by seeing he finished everybody's life. Why he should take the difficulty of going around with Arjuna and, you know, driving the chariot for so long? It is only to glorify Arjuna, not for anything else. Because he likes to glorify his devotees. That is why he is glorified. Because Krishna likes to glorify everybody, he gets glorified. So if we like to glorify Krishna always, whatever it comes, we just keep glorifying Krishna, then we also keep getting glorified. That's the whole point. And the next point that we understand from this is that this apasampradayas and all that, how does this apasampradayas start? At some point they were also devotees only. When did this starts getting in a different direction, going in a different direction? You can see, because it's not to understand what is apasampradaya, but it is for us to understand we also don't get into that concocted ideas and deviations. Bhagavatam says beautifully in the fifth chapter, Narad Muni advises Vyasadeva. We will sing this together. It's 1:5:14, I think. Whoever has your smartphones and tabs, you can take that verse 1:5:14, if I'm not wrong. It starts with Tato Anyata. If it is not, then you please tell me. I think I may be wrong. Is it 1:5? Tato Anyata? Yes. 1:5:14. So you can sing this nicely together, okay? Tato nyata kinchanayat vivakshatah pritak drishas tatkrita rupa namabihi nakarhichet kvapi chadustitamatir labhetavata hatanauri vaspadam. See, it's very nice verse. It's a most powerful verse that gives us a direction. These are like lighthouse which is giving direction to the ships coming into the shore, right? So it's very beautiful. If you can have these things, you can see the thing in front of you, you can sing it together. Tato nyata kinchana yad vivakshatah pritak drishastat krita rupa namabihi nakarhichit kvapi chadustitamatir labhetavata hatanaurivaspadam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Please repeat. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Yesterday evening we had an interesting session in this one Sangha program. They were doing Bhagavatam. Okay, so we we are discussing about singing these shlokas. So they all enjoyed one point, very interesting, just came up, that all of us who are grahasthas at home, there is always this some challenges, some misunderstanding, and one will get upset or angry than the other, or it goes like that. So there is a very easy way to solve this problem. Whenever your family member, somebody, children, wife, husband, or parents, or whatever, when they become angry at you, immediately you start singing. They really liked it because it is easy. Because the thing is, once you start singing, only two things can happen. Right? Either you sing nicely or you sing horribly. Either of these two things will happen. If you sing very nicely, then they will lose the anger. Because when you sing, anybody who sings nicely, then when you hear, it becomes all right. But if you sing horribly, then also they will lose the anger, because every time I become angry, he is going to sing so horribly. So let me stop. Let me not get angry at all. So either way, it is beneficial. And if we sing it, and if we become angry, then also we sing. Because when we become angry and we sing, then somehow, if we sing nicely, then Krishna will give us the realization. Right? Or if we sing horribly, then we will get a slap. Because on one side you are getting angry also, and on the other side you are singing horribly also. So get a slap from the other person. Or we will not get the prasadam, the worst case, if they are a bit sane, they will not give prasadam. So then, without prasadam, our anger will go down. That's the best way to stop angry. So we all sing nicely just to get rid of this anger, Forget about Krishna, prema and all that. That will come whenever it wants, whenever Krishna gives. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare, Hare. There is one more benefit of this singing. They say this thing now, that whenever you are angry, this psychiatrist, psychologist, they say that you count 1 to 10 or 1 to 100 and then your anger will go away. After what counting 1 to 10, you will get more angry actually. I wasted my time, otherwise I would have already gone and shouted at that person. Now my anger has increased so much that I want to go and slap him. So this thing is, this is not the way. Actually, whenever we are angry, then we should start singing this tune and this, it's very nice that it really soothes our mind. You keep on singing and then you'll see that without our knowledge, the anger and our agitation and everything goes down. Because that is the beauty of this sound vibration. Especially Hare Krishna mantra, Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada says beautifully in his lectures that these mantras, he doesn't call these as verses. He doesn't call them as verse or shloka. He says these are mantras. It's mantra murti. Just like we have the vigraha murti, right? It's called our Vedic culture, it is called as mula murti. It's the root, it's the standing there. He will not come out. Radha Gokulanji will not come out. He will stand there and he will take all the service. And then we have utsava murti. Like when we have that, wherever there is some festival, Julan or some different festival, then the Utsava Murthy he is the one who is taken out on processions and this Julan and boat festival and all that. Same way, Narad Muni says in Bhagavatam that these are Mantra Murthy. It's a mantra form of the Lord. Murthy means form, which can be conceptualized, basically. So, these are not these are actually, these are not some just some Sanskrit verses or something. These are non-different from Krishna. When we have that feeling, then we will enjoy and we will sing this very nicely, very beautifully and joyfully. Devotional service has to be joyfully performed. Whether we understand or not, it doesn't matter. Because it is up to Krishna to make us understand. But joy we can have. That is the most important aspect of things. How many of us can say that so many years, 30, 40 years, 50 years, I know the full philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, or full message of the concept of Bhagavad Gita? We can't. If we understand, that is not called a philosophy. As long as we don't understand, it is called a philosophy. So the whole idea is to understand that we can't understand. That is what is the concept of achintya, bheda, bheda, tattva. Very Beda, Abeda, and then Tattva. But the very first word that is put is Achintya. Achintya means inconceivable. Why are we trying to conceive that which cannot be conceived? We can't. That's why it is called inconceivable. After trying so many lifetimes, the only thing we can understand is this is beyond our conception. Adokshaja, beyond our material conception. So let's come back to this point again. We have only talked about the punishment so far, the mistake so far. There is one other interesting thing is that this we talked about why this Kamalakant Vishwas was not sharing this whole his what he is going to do. He did not say this to any of the devotees or even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There is one interesting thing. When I was with my spiritual master, I was in a dilemma as to couple of one situation I was going through. So I was explaining the situation to my spiritual master and I asked him what is the solution you would give me, what is the guidance you can give me. So he didn't give me any guidance. He just asked me before even talking about any solution. He said, what does your super soul say? This is the question he asked me. I was bewildered. I have never heard anything from super soul so far. Whenever I have a question, I will ask only my friends or spiritual ones. What does your super soul say? I said, Maharaj, I don't know, Maharaj. I don't know what he says. He said, very powerful statement he said, see, the nature of living entities is that they don't share their problem 100%. Never. They always hold something back. If a situation is there where I have some problem with some situation or somebody or some personal, professional, whatever, I will always try to say so much of good things about what I did and this much or nothing about what is the other side, what mistake I did. So he said a very beautiful point that, see, the solution I give will work according to the proportion of how you are revealing your heart to me. If you are revealing 50%, the solution I will give only will work 50%. If you reveal to me 100%, it will work 100%. Spiritual master is going to, it's like, you know, ghana ghanatvam. What is that? Praptasya kalyana gunarnavasya vande groshi charanarvindam. We say, right? So, he is pouring the rain, mercy like rain. So, it is going to flow anyway. And when it is pouring, the more we are revealing ourselves openly to the thing, that much water we can catch. That much mercy we can catch. So the more we are frank and honest with our guide or senior or spiritual master or whatever, even if we go and stand in front of Krishna, we go and ask them, you know, I am really suffering, can you help? Please help us. Please help me. So if we really go from the bottom of our heart, I did a mistake. I did, this is my own mistake. Then thing will reveal. Even in Bhagavatam, if you see, Parikshit Maharaj, Shukadeva Goswami did not come when Parikshit Maharaj was ruling all right. He was doing wonderful job, Parikshit Maharaj. But when did he come? When he... What is that, Prabhu? I was about to say something. When he was cursed. Did he come when he was cursed? Curse happened much before. When did he actually come? Yeah, he went to the bank of Ganges, but he went many times before that also. He was always taking bath in Ganges. It was just running across his... Sorry? When he wanted to? Consult. Consult for what? He had... Understand. When he wanted to understand what? What to do? No, that is also not there, not the right thing. Because the sages were also there. They were all suggesting things. Right, but that question anybody could have answered, isn't it? Those sages there also would have answered.
But they also felt that they couldn't give the most appropriate answer.
That's right, but there is another subtle point behind that. It could have been done even by Vyasadeva or Narad Muni, anybody. That is fine, but there is one very subtle point which he did, as a result of which he got the mercy of Srimad Bhagavatam to Sukadeva Goswami. And it is essential for our devotional service, practice, practical. He prayed what? Yes, we are coming closer to the point. Whatever reaction, let it come immediately. So that reaction, was it that Bhagavatam is the reaction of that? So whenever we make a mistake, then we will get Bhagavatam. Then we will keep on doing mistakes. You are kind of closer to that thing. Before that, what happened? Before even saying that whatever reaction, let it come to me, he accepted his mistake. When we accept our mistake, the very next thing that we'll do is we will not retaliate. We will not counteract. That is the most important point. Whole of Bhagavatam, that is one single thread that is running across. They accept. Even if it is not a mistake, they said it is fine. Narad Muni, for example, he made Daksha's sons at all his devotees. Daksha cursed him left, right and center. He said, you are a mischief monger, you are a rascal, you are a muda, you are this, that and everything. And also, not only bad names he called, he finally told him, I curse you, you will not stay in one place for more than a few moments. Imagine somebody is given that curse, he can't even rest in one place for more than a few moments. For the whole lifetime, how will he react? If somebody comes and curses us like that, what will we do? I curse you back. You will never go out of this place. You will only sit in this one chair. Opposite curse. How will that be? This counter-cursing, cursing and counter-cursing, it is a really ridiculous thing. Even Shiva exhibited that thing when this whole cursing and counter-cursing went on between the two parties. He could have done, just finished the whole set of people just there, then and there, just cursing. One side, this Daksha's people are cursing, and the other side, Nandi and others there also counter-cursing, back and forth. What is the thing he did? The best thing. He just silently left that place. Because of me, these people are in modes. They are not understanding what they are supposed to do. For me, it's waste of time. I was simply sitting and meditating, remembering the Lord, and these people disturbed my meditation also. They are also not doing devotional service. They are not letting me also do devotional service. So let me go back to my Kailash. There nobody will come. I am happy there. And when unnecessarily I came all the way here. He just went. That's the point. Because first of all, Shiva who was cursed by Daksha, first and foremost. Shiva did not speak a single word. On top of it, he was cursed. And then the counter-cursing was going on from his side. He silently left that place. And that is an exhibition of a Vaishnava, exhibiting the quality, greatest quality of a Vaishnava. When you don't do anything wrong, and you are being wronged, then you don't counteract. Parikshit Maharaj, what he did was nothing really. Actually, Shaunakrishi and Ko was supposed to be cursed for their mistake. Because if somebody comes to your home, you can't even give them water. It is because of Parikshit Maharaj's beautiful rule that he is really so immaculately that they just living in the middle of a forest with just some thatched fence where no animals can come in or no thieves can come in and disturb them. No, anybody could have come and destroyed their thing in no time. He is able to sit outside his home and meditate, and nobody is even entering into his home, which is a great thing. Imagine if you have to go out, how many locks we put in our home? 3-4 locks we put in so that nobody will enter in. And here is a person who doesn't even lock his home and sitting and doesn't even have an external consciousness of what is happening outside. And that is exactly being recalled by Shaunak Rishi when this boy comes and cries, saying that I have already cursed with this guy who has insulted you. That time Shaunak Rishi says beautifully that you did a great job, great wrong, great blunder you have done. For such a wonderful king who has been ruling immaculately, you have now destroyed for lifetimes together, for generations together, people are destroyed, living entities are destroyed, and you and I will be the cause of that. You have been trained, but you are not cultured. Training is easy. I can teach nice musical tunes, I can nice recitation, pronunciation, all those things easily we can do in our thing. That is training. But culture is different. Culture takes time. No? We do yogurt culture, we say, right? You can't put the thing in the milk and then the next moment you get yogurt. You have to let it there for some time, like that for some time, and then overnight it will become curd yogurt. So that is culture. So we have to culture means it takes time. You know, you have to give that slow nurture, and then it becomes culture. So this Kamalakant Vishwas, he was so familiar with the thing that whatever I do, I know what I am doing. So he is not revealing. He will not revealing 100%. If you are considering Advaita Acharya as the supreme personality of Godhead, why can't you at least reveal to Advaita Acharya that you owe 300 rupees, can I liquidate? Can I get that amount? I want to spend it for myself. Or I want to use it. You should have, can I write this letter to the king? You could have asked. Or even after writing, you could have told that I have written this just for whatever reason. So none of these things happened. So these all comes out because of our lack of simplicity and straightforwardness. We are not simple and straightforward in our dealings. If I made a mistake, I just say, I just did this mistake. Worst come worst, what they will do? They will criticize us, chastise us. And then finished. But if I do it and not even reveal it, keep it hiding, then the Lord becomes more angry. And that is where this whole thing, the punishments, the effect of this punishment is this, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Govinda that don't even let this guy come to meet me. It's a beautiful thing, that the punishment, this chastisement, this word chastise is a very interesting word. Chastise means, see, you have this, a magnet is there, then iron is there. When the iron is with the magnet, what happens? Attracts, but it is there for a long time, what happens? It is magnetized. It gets a magnetic power. So it gets magnetized. So when a chaste person, we are a chaste person, then we get chastised. Right? When you are the magnet, you get magnetized. When you are a chaste person, you get chastised. So when you are chastised, what happens? You become chaste. Just like when you are magnetized, you become magnet, that iron becomes magnet. When you are chastised, we become chaste. That is why we are being chastised. So chastisement is good. That is the whole point. So Advaita Acharya felt very bad that you are chastising this Kamalakant Vishwas, and you have done such a great favor to him. But to me you did not chastise. You were just upset with me and you went without saying anything. So you are more merciful to him than me. See how Advaita Acharya is reacting. Amazing. Yes, actually Advaita Acharya wanted to be chastised by Krishna, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Wantedly he was doing this yoga, Abhishta, whatever that he was trying to write commentary or read and explain about this Mayavad concept and all. Because those pure devotees, they don't like being respected by Krishna so much. So much respect. Sanatan Goswami also. He was feeling very bad. Every time Sanatan Goswami comes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives him so much respect that he feels very bad. You are treating me like an outsider. You are giving me so much respect and you are calling me ji, ji, ji and all. I'm not... It doesn't make any sense to me. You are making me, making my heart broken, you know. I want to be more chastised by you. I want to get punishment from you. Pure devotees, they want to be punished. They enjoy the punishment. So much, so that if Krishna does not punish, they curse him. You are not punishing me. The beautiful thing here is, Advaita Acharya tells Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, no, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says this, that don't let this person come to me anymore, tell him that he should not come and meet me anymore, then Advaita Acharya hears this, and Kamalakant Vishwas also hears this. Advaita Acharya becomes very happy first, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is showing his mercy to Kamalakant Vishwas. But Kamalakant Vishwas becomes unhappy. Why is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu not allowing me to come and see him? So, when Advaita Acharya hears that Kamalakant Vishwas is unhappy, he goes and tells him that you should be happy that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is punishing you. He has not punished me so much. No, like one Maharaj was very nice devotee. He was in Vrindavan. We just met him in Radha Kundan. He was giving a lecture and he was telling very nicely that when I was walking around in Parikrama, suddenly a thorn pricked my feet and I started cursing. Oh, why this thorn is here? All my devotional service went for a toss. And I said, why cursing Krishna? Why is this thorn is here and pricking me? And then one Brajvasi came and he said, oh, so nice, so nice. So jumping joy. I said, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. He becomes more irritated. When I am suffering in pain and you are jumping Hari Bol, Hari Bol. So nice, so nice. Then he said, why are you jumping like this? Didn't do anything wrong to you before? I have never even seen you before. He said, no. See, Radharani has shown his mercy to you. This is mercy you are saying? Yeah, because when the thorn goes out, your blood goes out. Blood is means blood going out means bad karma going out. See, I am walking for so many years and I'm not getting any thorns pricking at all. Radharani is not merciful to me at all. Then Maharaj told me, you don't have any sins in you, so what is the point in pricking your feet? Devotees deal so differently, right? It's not something, you know. All our devotional service, all Jai Prabhupada, Jai Gaurnita, everything will go for a toss when small problem comes in our life. as small as a thorn or a small stomach pain or something, you know, some bodily problem comes. You can't remember Krishna. So Advaita Acharya is very, he is actually pacifying Kamalakant Vishwas. And then, he goes to, not seeing anymore is a very interesting thing. Because that which we are hankering for, like, you know, we keep on coming, say for Mangalarti, we keep coming for a month or 2 months or a year or so. Then we get, Mangalarti, anyway, we've been doing it for many years. I'm advanced, you know. I'm getting advanced. I'm an advanced devotee. So maybe I should go around and do something. Morning time, there's a lot of other things, emails to check and WhatsApp messages to do and Facebook to do. Facebook is a very interesting thing, you know. We always look at Facebook. You know. We face Prabhupada's book. That is what it means. Facebook means we face Prabhupada's book. Always face Prabhupada's book. That is what Facebook is. For us, Facebook is Prabhupada's book. Not some, and then go, like, comment and all these things we do anyway. These are all sense gratification, subtle sense gratification, right? I put a picture of Radha Gokulanand and I come after 1 hour and see how many likes have come, how many comments have come, or my own picture and put it. These are all taking us away from devotional service actually. So difficult. We can use it for the technology for Krishna, but if we are not mature enough, then we will justify every single deviation, like how Kamalakant Vishwas is slight deviation. I was telling this shloka, tato nyata kinchana yad vivakshata shloka. It is very beautiful to understand how this deviation starts. Prabhupada writes beautifully that in the beginning there will be two paths like this, okay? Like in the forest and all, if you go, you will see trails, different trails that will go. So it will be going like this, and one of the roads will be slightly going like this. You will feel that, you will see both the lines going like this. Okay, I am going and the other person is walking this way, and we both are going in the same thing. We will catch up somewhere. But as it goes along, this goes like this, and after a mile or so, it becomes, the distance is so significant. We won't even realize that we have gone so away, so much away from the main path. So without realizing, we would have been deviated. That is what deviation means. Maya is very powerful. It's not simple. It's durantaya, it is called. Durantaya. So, tatonyata kinchanayat vivakshataka. Even slight deviation, it will take us to... We don't realize that deviation. There is, okay, if you, sometimes you go here and there, but you have to realize that, yes, I am deviating and come back. If not, you just go on like that and we will lose ourselves. We will not even have the guidance. We will be lost in the jungle. Right? So, that is the point. So tatonyata kinchanayat vivakshataha pritak drishas. This pritak drisha word is a very powerful thing. Pritak drisha means seeing something different from Krishna or outside of Krishna. This is in the Chaturshloki Bhagavatam also, it is there, right? Ritayartam yat pratiyata na pratiyata chatmani. That which is appearing as something which is not me is maya. Outside of Krishna. That's the point. So pritak drishas tat kritarupa nama bihi. Na karhichit kvapi cha duhstitamati. Duhstitamatir means a mind which is unsteady. Duhstita, it doesn't have an anchor. Like the boat. Duhstitamatihi labheta vata hatanaur ivaspadam. The boat on the water on the near the shore, when it is not anchored properly, even a light wind can, slight wind can shake it and take it away. So it is very important to be anchored in the lotus feet of Krishna consciousness. Krishna. The lotus feet of Krishna is the best place to anchor ourselves. There is no other place where we can anchor. So, anyway, this I just wanted to stop here. And if you have any comments, or go further.